Amen. Hey, church, you can be seated. I've been looking forward to being here together today. I'll tell you what, we got bouncy houses ready. I don't know if we're going to be able to do those unless you want your kids going on a flight or something, but we'll see. Maybe just a rain and wind bouncy house. But if you're a guest with us here this morning, thanks for being with us. We're excited about all that God is doing. We look forward to talking about a lot of that today as we celebrate 8 years as a church in Tucson. Can you guys believe it? Like 8 years. It's just incredible. I remember back in 2013, we already knew that God was calling us to plant a church. We were pastoring, and I was pastoring in a church in Kansas City, and we knew God was doing something different. And so, man, we surrendered to God's call on our life to move from Kansas City, Missouri, wherever Jeff is at, Missouri, and moved here to Tucson, Arizona. We arrived on January 17, 2014, and really not knowing all that God had in store, but we trusted Him. Right, we trusted Him, and we began meeting in our home just after the first few months. By the end of March, we were having Bible study and discipleship in our home, and that just continued to grow and multiply, and we began growing a core team that was going to help us get going and be prepared. And then on August 31st of that year, we began meeting on Sundays in our house. My wife loved that, right? We took all of our furniture that was in our living room and did Tetris in the kitchen and put up some pipe and drape, and it was good, wasn't it? Yeah, there you go. After a few months, we had our official public launch on January 11th, 2015, and Jessica and I can honestly say that moving here has radically changed our life in a good way. We're so glad that God called us here. Today we're going to talk about what God has been doing in and through our church for the last 8 years. But before we do that, I want us to bring our focus and our attention to the Word of God and see what He has in store for us today. I want to introduce you to someone real quick. They didn't know I was going to do this, but got the Fowler family. And if you guys would just stick your hands up, you don't have to like stand up. But they are church planters from Texas, and they moved out here, Arkansas originally. That explains it. Okay. So, no, it's good. Your pastor did a church in Texas for quite a few years, and they're planting over southwest side of Tucson. And so we're excited. Timbo's an amazing guy, and you guys are amazing. I love your family. Glad you're here with us today. We're in a series focusing on the goodness of God. Normally, we're walking through books of the Bible. That's what we love to do, is walk through books of the Bible verse by verse. In fact, in February, we're going to start walking verse by verse through the book of Acts. And I'm super excited about that. But since it's the beginning of the year, and since we're focusing on 8 years of God's goodness, we're taking the time to look at passages that remind us who God is and that show us His goodness. And so we've been looking at that the last few weeks. And then we're also looking at how do we respond? How do we respond as individuals? How do we respond as a church? What's our response to who God is and to His goodness? And as we look at our passage today, we want to look at that as well. We're going to talk a lot about how does our church, what do we need to do as a church? But it's the same thing as us as individuals. We're going to see four truths from our text today. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open them to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua is the sixth book of the Bible in the Old Testament. If you need a Bible, we've got a handful of them back there by that table back there that will be our gift to you. But we're going to be in chapters 3 and 4 today. And this is a perfect text for us as we praise God for all that He has done. Today, we're going to see how important it is to know who God is and to remember what He's done. We need to do that, church. We need to have those moments as people, as a church, where we just pause and reflect and be reminded. And so let's pray, and then we'll dive into the Word this morning. Father, we love You, and God, we celebrate You. We celebrate what You are doing. We've been praying, God, since the beginning, do things in and through us that only You can take credit for. God, we pray, Lord, this morning that our hearts, our ears, our attention would be attentive to You and what You have. God, I pray, Lord, You're glorified with what comes out of my mouth. I pray, Lord, that it gives You all the glory, that we make much of Jesus today. God, we thank You for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to be focusing on chapter 3 and 4 today, but just as we did last week, it's important for us to know context, right? We don't just open up the Bible and read a verse. We want to know the context around that. And so we're going to look at a little bit at the context, what's going on as we head up to chapter 3. And so we'll see what's happening before our text today. You don't need to turn there unless you want to. It'll be up on the screen. But in Joshua chapter 1, we have a pivotal moment in the life of God's people. We talked a little bit about last week about Exodus and what God was doing through Moses and leading the people out of slavery. But now we have a point where God had used Moses to lead his people for many years, to lead him out of slavery. But at the very end of Deuteronomy, God calls Moses home. Moses has died and gone to be with the Lord. And now God is calling another man to be the leader of his people. God calls Joshua to follow him, but to lead his people. And for Joshua and for all the people, this would have been a huge change. Moses was the leader they knew. It was his style that they knew. He had been the constant godly leader. And the assumption here in the text is that there is some fear and some doubt in Joshua and in the people. But God, I love this, God speaks directly into their fear and into their anxiety in chapter 1. Here's what it says. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you, Joshua, and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving to the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Those are good words, church. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their ancestors to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. One key point here, church, is leaders may change in churches, leaders may change in the mission field, leaders may change in the corporate world, but the leader never changes. And that's a good word, church. But I love that God's message is this: be strong and courageous, for I am with you. Now notice what he's not saying. He doesn't say be strong and courageous because you can do it. He doesn't say be strong or courageous because you've got it all together. He says be strong and courageous, for I, the Lord God, am with you. And God reminds them of the promise that to give them the land that he promised Moses. Just because Moses was gone doesn't mean that God is no longer faithful. And then in the rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2, God, we're not going to read all of that, but God continues to prepare Joshua to lead his people. And Joshua then prepares the Israelites, right, to go and take that next step, to go and take the land which God promised them. And that leads us to the point where God's people are. They're about ready to take their next big step. They're currently camped out in the land that's east of the Jordan River. And God is telling them, hey, I need you to cross this river. I need to take you to the west side, to the land that I've promised you. And that's where we come to chapter 3. Let's read that together. Joshua started early the next morning and left the acacia grove with all the Israelites. They went as far as the Jordan and stayed there before crossing. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, carried by the Levitical priests, you are to break camp and follow it. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between yourselves and the Ark. Don't go near it so that you can see the way to go, for you haven't traveled this way before." Joshua was telling his people, he said, people, be ready. We've been following God. He's got us camped out, but God is about to lead us to a new place. He's keeping his promise. He's about to, he's telling them that I'm gonna take you and lead you to where you've not been before. So listen, right? Church, we listen to God's voice. Listen to what God has been telling us. Let's trust him. And he tells them this, he says, keep an eye on the Ark of the Covenant. When you see the Ark move, that means God is ready for you to go. This piece is really important, church. The Ark of the Covenant, we're not going to dive too deep into it, but in short, the Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence. That's what it represented for the people. This is God's presence. And this is going to be different from them. He's saying you're going to follow it, but it's different because normally the Ark of the Covenant was at the center of the camp. Right? It was the center of the people. Showing God's presence was at the center. And when the people were marching or traveling, God's ark usually wasn't in front. It was in the middle of the procession as they're marching or traveling or heading to war or whatever it is. But this time, God says, this is a little different. The ark is going to go before you. My presence is going to lead you. I remember when God called us here to Tucson, we knew that God had come before us to prepare for all that God would do in and through Authentic Life Church. And God gives very specific instruction here. He says the Levitical priest and the ark, they need to be 1,000 yards in front of you. Remember, normally they're surrounding this thing, but now it needs to be 1,000 yards. Why? Verse 4, so that you can see the way to go. For you've not traveled this way before. And with the ark representing God's presence, God is saying, I am here with you. He's saying, I am going before you. I am going to lead you. And so my people, trust me, follow me. I'm going to show you the way. I love the detail. Keep some distance so you can see where God's presence is going to lead you so that everyone can see. Right? Keep 1,000 yards. We want everybody to see. It's not just Joshua. We want all of God's people to see. Church, as we think about our church family and what God has called us to do, and as we walk through this passage, I want us to see some truths that we need to know and understand. I want us to see some takeaways for us to live out as a church as we continue to follow the Lord and live for Him here in Tucson. By the way, these can all be applied to your life personally, because guess what? This building is not the church. If you're saved, you're the church. And God's people said, all right, come on now. Help me out here a little bit. It's our birthday. You can get a little excited today, okay? We're going to see one truth out of chapter 3 and then the rest out of chapter 4. The first truth for us is this. First thing for us to learn from this passage, for us to accomplish, for Authentic Life Church, for us as individuals to accomplish all that God calls us to accomplish, we must first trust in and follow the Lord. We must first trust in and follow the Lord. That may sound too easy, too elementary. You're like, wait a minute, I've been saved for a long time. That's a little easy, Pastor Jeff, right? But that's what God calls us to do. Right? Sometimes we make things too complicated. Just trust in the Lord and follow Him. Know who God is. Keep your eyes on Him. Trust in Him and follow where He leads. Because church, too often, we as individuals, we as Christ followers, we as churches, we're being led by things other than the Lord. We just got to own that. Sometimes we take our eyes off and we're often led by our influencer, whatever kids watch on YouTube. I was trying to talk like the kids today, and they were making fun of me. They're like, Pastor, don't say that. Like, you know, like, this is sus, right? Did I do it? Am I good? Okay. I'm trying. All right. But we're often led by our culture. We're often led by our fleshly desires. We're often led by worldly desires. We can take our eyes off of Jesus and begin to watch and follow and pursue worldly things. We see churches, we see individuals do that every single day. They take their eyes off the Lord. Instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus, we're tempted to be led and influenced by the world. And then when that happens, the church begins to look more and more like the culture instead of more and more like Jesus. The Bible tells us that we become what we behold. So let's behold Him. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's pursue Jesus even when it's hard, church. Let's follow Jesus. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. This is my oldest son's life verse. I don't know if you guys do life verses or not, but this is a great one. This is for us as individuals and as a church. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him or know Him, and He will make your paths straight. Church, collectively, together, all of us, just like the Israelites, all of them were to see God's presence and follow the Lord's presence. We together, it takes all of us, we're to keep our eyes and our ears on the Lord, and we're to trust in Him and follow Him. And just as He promised Moses, just as God promised Joshua, just as God promised the Israelites, God also promises you and me today. And the promise as we follow Him is this: He is with us. He's with us. As Christ followers, God promises to be with us, church. As His church, He promises to be with us. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 28. I think He's a pretty trustworthy source here. Jesus came and said to them, this is after Jesus has died, was buried, and rose again, before He goes to ascend to be with the Father. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Church, we have a responsibility to go and share the gospel. Not just me, not just the extroverts. All of us have a responsibility to go and share the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. So disciple them, teaching them to observe everything I commanded you, and remember, I, Jesus, am with you always to the end of the age. And so we trust in him, we follow him, and together, as we share the gospel, as we preach the word, as we grow together, as we serve and love our community, as we come alongside the widows and the fatherless and the orphans and those in need, as we support missions and give to the Lord financially, he is with us and he's never alone. We're never alone. You get what I mean. We're never alone. The other thing to know is this, he is with us, and the other thing that's really important is he is faithful. He is faithful. We have all been hurt by someone. We probably all had someone betray our trust, but the Lord our God is faithful. We just sang about that. In our text, Joshua and God's people, all they had to do was to look back and see that God was faithful. When they weren't faithful, he remained faithful. When they sinned, he remained faithful. Are you with me, church? They heard his promise. They experienced his love. They felt his protection. They've seen that he is good and patient and compassionate and gracious. They've experienced all of that. And so when God says, hey, guys, it's time to go, they can trust him and follow him because he's faithful. For us, we know that God is faithful. He keeps his word. We know that Jesus came to be with us. We can look back and see that Jesus came to die for us and forgive us and to make a way for us to be with him for eternity. Each day we experience life and breath. I love it. My kids, I think all three of them last night prayed and said, God, thank you for my life today. He provides for us. He's faithful. For us as a church, goodness, man, we can look back over these last 8 years and we can see that he is faithful. He's good. He's with us. When we step back and see how the Lord has led us and provided for us and sustained us and grown us and loved us, we can say, God, you are faithful. Timbo, that's my encouragement to you. God is faithful as you plant your church. God is faithful, church. We think about these Israelites. There were reasons. Let's just be real for a second. There were reasons as to why they shouldn't go where God was telling them to go. The waters that they were to cross, that river, they would have easily swept away. It was dangerous. They don't know what's on the other side of the river waiting for them. But you know what they did? They looked back, they saw that God was good, that he was with them, that he was faithful, and they listened and they trusted God and they followed him. Why? Because they knew he was there and he was faithful. Look ahead with me to verse 10. God tells them, you will know that the living God is among you, and he will certainly dispossess before you the Canaanites, the Hethites, the Havites, the Perizzites, the Gagashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth goes ahead of you into Jordan, now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. Listen to this. When the feet of the priest who carry the Ark of the Lord of the whole earth, when they come to rest in the Jordan's water, listen, its water will be cut off. The water flowing downstream will stand up in a mass. God is leading them to cross this dangerous Jordan River into an area where they have no idea what's going to be waiting for them. But God goes before them and he tells them, this is how I'm going to make a way. When the priest's feet, when they hit that river, that water is going to stop. So they listened, they trusted, they followed. For us, God speaks to us right here in the Word of God, church. The perfect, inerrant word of God. Let's get past the point where we pick and choose what we want to believe out of this thing. Amen? Like, it's good. It's the perfect word of God. And God calls us. He says, be devoted to the word of God. Read it. Listen to it. Trust what God is telling us and follow it. Right? And God also says, hey, be devoted to me in prayer. Seek me and listen to me. I remember Jessica and I trying to figure out how we'd make the move from Kansas City to Tucson. We knew we were called, but let's just be honest, it was a little scary. Kansas City is quite different than Tucson. But we knew that God was going before us. We knew he was leading us. We knew he would be there with us. And we knew that he was faithful, and so we trusted him. Every step of the way, how are we going to move there? It's going to cost us thousands and thousands of dollars. God took care of it. Are you with me, church? Like, he goes before us and he's with us. I think about the core team. If you're not familiar with the core team, it's a group of people that joined us at the very beginning, that prayed and served and loved on the community and helped us prepare for our very first service. There was a lot of reasons for them to say no, but they trusted God's call in their life and they followed. Church, part of trusting and following God is found in verse 5. Let's not miss this. If we want to trust and follow the Lord, we can't miss verse 5. Listen to what Joshua says. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. Part of following God, church, is dedicating your life to him. To consecrate means to dedicate, it means to surrender, and it means to be devoted. It's taking your life and saying, God, it's yours. My thoughts are yours, my words are yours, my feet are yours, everything about you. I am devoted to you, I'm going to follow you, and God, I would love for you to do wonders in and through me, among us. What a great verse. Set your life before God. Completely surrender yourself to him. Why? Because he's worthy, because he's trustworthy, and we want to see God do wonders. Church, let's pause for a minute. This is free. This is one of the most unchurched cities in all of America. We have work to do, and God wants you and me to get after it. Are you with me? Right, church, we got work to do, and God does it in and through us. We cannot do it on our own. It's not possible, so he does it in and through us. And my prayer for a very long time is to switch the numbers. Okay, right now, 7% of people in Tucson are church people. How awesome would it be if God used us and other godly churches to flip that upside down? So we're a city where 93% of the people are going to church and know Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing? Church, come on. That'd be amazing, y'all, right? As a church, Jesus calls us to be devoted to his word and be devoted to prayer. He calls us to be devoted to this church body. He calls us to worship together and serve together and to give together. He says, don't forsake the assembly of gathering together. Like, it's not an option. He says, do it, right? Jesus calls us to be committed to unity and being together. And Jesus calls you and me and our church to surrender our life to him completely, to trust in him and follow him. And we can do it easily because he proves himself to be faithful. Authentic life. We listen, we trust, we follow, but we don't do it timidly. We do it with courage because the Lord is with us. Listen to what Joshua 1:9, God says to him. He says, have I not commanded you? I read that. I was doing that in my own personal study time a few months ago, and just I was struggling, just going through some discouragement, and then I read that, and I was like, whoa, this is a commandment. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let us trust in and follow the Lord with courage, Authentic Life Church. Tucson needs it. All right, look back with me to chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. When the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. So it's starting to happen, right? Now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season, but as soon as the priests carrying the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water as its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam, a city next to Zarethan. The water flowing downstream into the Sea of Araba, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, and the people crossed opposite Jericho. The priests carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant stood firmly. Listen. On dry ground, in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Don't miss this. Because they listened, because they trusted, because they obeyed and followed the Lord, he did wonders among them. Everything that God said would happen, it happened. They safely crossed the river on dry land, and God led them and provided for them. Let's look at chapter 4. After the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, choose 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing, carry them with you, and set them down at the place where you spend the night. In our house, we've got some cool little stones and seashells and sand dollars that we've collected from places that we've traveled throughout the world. Anybody else do that? Okay. 5 of you. Thanks for shaking your head or raising your hand. All right. We're the normal ones. Everybody else is weird, okay? But why do we do that? Like, they remind us of where we went. They remind us. They help us tell stories. And here God is saying, grab some stones from the dry river that you just crossed. Take them with you. Verse 4, so Joseph summoned the 12 men he had selected from the Israelites, one man from each tribe, and said to them, go across to the ark of the Lord your God. the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan, each of you lift a stone onto his shoulder, one for each of the Israelites' tribe, so that you will, this will be a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you? You shall tell them. This is what God did. The water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan's water was cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites. And God is saying, grab some big stones, right? Place them in the camp. And when others ask, when your children ask, when your neighbors ask, when others ask about them, tell them who God is and what he did. What he did for you and what he did for his people on this day. Tell them how God led you and was with you and that he was faithful and you surrendered your life to him. Tell them that you trusted him and followed him and they can do the same. Verse 8, the Israelites did just as Joshua had commanded them. The 12 took stones from the middle of the Jordan, one of each tribe or one for each of the Israelites' tribes. Just as the Lord had told Joshua, they carried them back to the camp and set them down there. Let's jump ahead. We're going to cheat a little bit and jump ahead to verse 20. Then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your children ask their fathers, what is the meaning of these stones? You shall tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan before you until we had crossed over, just as the Lord had done to the Red Sea. Remember that, right? But which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. This is so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is strong, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. These next three truths are going to go a little bit quicker from chapter 4, but I want us to see three more for us to know and follow in our lives and at Authentic Life. The next truth is this. Church, we are to be intentional about remembering his goodness. We're to be intentional about remembering God's goodness. God is telling them, he's telling us too, by the way, I know how you are. I know you get distracted. I know you get prideful and try to take credit for things. I know that you can easily forget. And so go get these stones, place them where everyone can see them, place them where you all will walk by them, and they'll be a reminder to you of the goodness of God. Be a reminder of the goodness of God. Be a reminder of who God is and what he did. Church, we need to pause and take time in our life and remember who he is and what he's done and remember his goodness. And we're to do that together as a church. We're to be intentional. By the way, that's part of us being together. We're to remind each other what God has done because sometimes life gets hard. We had a conversation with, I was just sharing this morning. We had a conversation with, I think it was Jax, our oldest. Life is not fair. Life is hard. Be intentional about remembering the goodness of God and remember that he is there and he is faithful. And so here in a little bit, we're going to do that in a couple different ways. First, we're going to take a quick look at some of the things that God has done in and through us here at Authentic Life. And then we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And you know what happens in the Lord's Supper? Jesus commands us when we take the Lord's Supper, when we eat and when we drink, we're to do it in remembrance of him, right? To remember that he came, he lived a perfect life, he died and his body was broken. He suffered for you and for me and he died on the cross, church. We're to remember. Sometimes we get so caught up in the here and now, things get hard, don't they? Right? We get so caught up and we forget that God is there and he's faithful. Let's be intentional to remember his goodness. The next truth is this, Authentic Life Church and Christ followers, we are to recognize that he is mighty and able. Verse 24 says that they're to have these stones out as a reminder that God is mighty or that his hand is strong. And so next time that they face a challenge or we face a challenge, next time there's doubt, next time we grow tired or weary, know that the Lord your God, he is with you and he is faithful and he is mighty. He will provide his strength to do what he calls us to do. Somebody needs to hear that today. He will provide his strength to do in and through you what he's called you to do. Part of knowing his strength is recognizing his ability. One of the passages that I know that we clung to, is that proper English? We clinged to, right? When we first moved to Tucson was Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. This is who we pray to, church. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond. Now let's stop there. He doesn't just say beyond. He like quadruples it up. He is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. According to the power that works within us, to him, not to us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Church, God is able. He is able and he is mighty. And if he calls us and leads us, church, we can trust him and follow him because he is able to accomplish it in and through us. When tough times come, God is able when we are not. When rivers and barriers seem to be in the way, we seek the Lord. We remember who he is. We remember he's faithful. We know that he is mighty and able. Church, our prayer has been and it should always be, God, you do things in and through us that only you can take credit for. And church, that means we need to be fully devoted to him. And then we see the last truth in verse 6. This will be a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you? You shall say to them, right? Tell them what God did. Look at verse 21. In the future, when your children ask the fathers, what's the meaning of these stones? You should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the river of the Jordan before you until you crossed it. Verse 24, talking about building the memorial, right? This is so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is strong and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. The next truth for our church and for you, we are to tell others about the goodness of God. We're to share the gospel of Jesus. Let me be super clear, church. It's not just the pastor or the leader's job to do that. If you are saved, God is calling you to do that. We're to share the good news with others. Moms and dads, your first ministry is your family. The church will come alongside you, and we're going to share the gospel. We're going to teach your kids about the Bible. We're going to do that. We're going to go after it, okay? But it's your responsibility first, church. Are you with me? Men, let's lead our homes. Women, let's lead our children. Are you with me, church? Man, we got to tell them about the goodness of God and share the gospel of Jesus. You live where you live. You play where you play. You sleep where you sleep because God has placed you there so that you can tell others about Jesus. We have a responsibility, if you've been saved by Jesus, to lead others, tell others about him and what he's done for you. Tell them of his grace. Tell them of his forgiveness. Tell them of his love and tell them that Jesus went to the cross for them. We must never stop telling people about Jesus. If we want to not make it to the 9th or 10th or 11th or 12th birthday, let's just stop telling people about Jesus. But what's never... stop telling people about Jesus. We must always see others as Jesus does. Jesus sees their eternity. He doesn't see them as a bad driver, although we got a lot of them here. He doesn't see him as a Republican or Democrat. He doesn't see him, are you with me, church, as we see them. He sees their eternity and he loves them, and we're to love them enough to tell them who God is and what Jesus did for them. So a little recap, Authentic Life Church, as we sit at 8 years, and look back at all that God has done. Let's be intentional about remembering. Let us recognize that our God, he is mighty, he is able. He is more able than we can ever imagine, church. And let us never stop telling others of God's goodness and his gospel. And last, let us always trust in him, follow him, and completely surrender our lives and our church to him. This is his church. He's in charge. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we ask for you to speak into our lives as individuals and collectively as a church. I think about Acts 1:14, where they all were devoted. They were united in one mind. They were praying. So God, help us be united as a church to follow you and to trust you and to know who you are and know that you're faithful, know that you're with us. God, help us trust in you and your power and your might and know that everything that we do is because of you and it's by you. God, help us never stop telling people about the goodness of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I pray, Lord, you would speak into people's lives right now. And I also pray, God, if there was someone here today that does not know Jesus, they've not experienced the goodness, they've not experienced his love, they've not experienced his forgiveness. We pray, Lord, today that you would draw them near to you and they would be saved today. They would surrender their lives and call on Jesus to save them from their sins today. In Jesus' name. I want you guys just to have your moment with God. Keep your eyes closed just to be respectful and be able to focus on God. Christians, pray. Have your moment with the Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I need you to hear this. John 3:16 says, "For God so loves you that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, and whoever would believe in Jesus, trust in Jesus, give their life to Jesus, would not perish, but have everlasting life with Jesus. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't know Jesus. I've never been saved. I've never surrendered my life. I've never asked him for forgiveness. If that's you today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'd love for you to lift your hand just so I can see your face and we can talk afterwards. Just say, I need to know more about Jesus. If you're online, don't feel shy. Email us. Put a post right there on the live feed. We'll get a hold of you. We'll talk to you about Jesus. If you're a little shy to raise your hand right now, we got plenty of time afterward. Come and talk about that. Father, we surrender our day to you. Lead us as we walk out of here. Help us live out these four truths. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen.